The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:30pm with Darren Owen, Andy Holding and Gary Capewell in the studio. Three jumpers to look forward to on Tuesday with racing from Huntingdon, Lingfield and Sedgefield, and you'll hear it all live, so do tune in for all of that. Right now though, my name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Mr. Sam Turner. Hi Sam.
Hello Mark, how are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Good.
How are you?
I'm absolutely ecstatic at the prospect of a fantastic week to come. Cheltenham, obviously, yeah. Ludlow Thursday. Does it get any better?
I don't know if it does. We've got a fantastic weekend coming up with the Paddy Power, and we're going to look at some of the questions in the Monday jury.
Sure.
I know you don't have maybe strongest opinion on the races at the moment because the final decks aren't out and so on, so we'll do our best with it. But the first question is looking back at last weekend.
Yep.
And what can we learn from the Elite Hurdle won by Purple Bay?
Well, we can learn that Purple Bay is a very useful horse on reasonable ground on a flat right-handed track. Whether he's a champion hurdle candidate is open to question. But he's certainly power clear and put up a really smart performance. Unfortunately, a lot of John Ferguson's horses then go to Cheltenham and they run pretty abjectly, to be honest. He had his first winner there this season. It was about a 3-on chance and it won comfortably. But he's had a whole host of opportunities in decent handicaps and grade races there in the past three or four seasons, and they haven't really delivered the goods as was expected. But obviously his winner on Saturday is a very useful horse in his own right. Goes very well for Mikey Ennis. I think he's 2 from 2 on him now, and he's certainly power clear in the style of a very progressive horse. He looks one to keep on side.
And maybe now John Ferguson has had a winner at Cheltenham, maybe that's just broke the hoodoo.
It
wasn't just the festival, was it? It was Cheltenham as a whole.
Cheltenham per se. He's almost as bad as Tim Vaughan there. I think he's into treble figures, isn't he, Tim Vaughan?
He is.
Okay. It's mythical, really. You can't really understand. You know, when horses are finishing second and running really well, and you begin to think, well, not all of my horses can't be suited by the track, surely. You know, there's got to be something else. Very bizarre.
Anyway, that's a story for another day. Who do you fancy to win the Paddy Power Gold Cup on Saturday?
The Paddy Power Gold Cup, well, you sift through the 45 entries. A number of the top trainers have got multiple entries and they seem to be holding the cards to the race, really. Certainly Philip Hobbs has got Manora in. It'd be interesting to see what he does with the Charlie Hall winner. It'd be very unlikely to go, you would think, to Cheltenham on pretty soft ground and run there. But he's top weight of 11-12 and keeps one or two useful horses out of the weights and makes sure that one or two lurkers at the bottom and the foot of the weights are all very nicely treated and sit on very handy handicap marks, i.e. Present View, who's off 10-stone-2 if Menorah runs, probably 10-8, 10-10 if he doesn't. Had a nice warm-up in a novice hurdle and has been very, very well backed. So, he looks, very interesting. One of the likes of Atterglance, who turns up for most of these parties, runs particularly well, was only just beaten by Present View and should have beaten him effectively back in March, and the Rewards for Racing novices handicap chase, he's obviously shortlist material. I think there's a couple of lurkers as well. Cad de Belay, who has been to Cheltenham a couple of times in handicap hurdles. I tipped him when he ran really well behind Don Polly in the Martin Pipe conditionals in March. He was only beaten 4 or 5 lengths. I didn't think he got the greatest ride that day. He was well out the back and stayed on quite nicely. But he goes back over fences. He's only had 3 starts over fences, winning once. He could be an interesting one. And buy-wise, if he's fit enough. Yep. All we keep hearing from Evan Williams, the horse isn't fit enough to run. It doesn't sound as though he's particularly keen to run it. But I saw him win first time up at Ludlow over hurdles. He beat Area 51. I was talking to Andrew Tinkler after the race and he said that rode like a good race. He said, I thought I was going to go and pick up Bywise after the last. Paul Maloney's given him one half tap and he's sprinted clear of me. And, Bywise is a 3, 3 and a quarter mile or 2.5 mile handicap chaser, and Area 51's a nippy flat horse running on fast ground around Ludlow, a track that should suit him. So there's a whole host of horses with chances, but I think I'd just like to have a look and boil it down once these trainers have sorted out which horses are actually going to run in the race.
Yeah, I suppose it's a similar story for the Greatwood the day after, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a little bit. I think Nicky Henderson obviously is a trainer to have a good look at in that Greatwood hurdle, because he's got a number of entries, but he has targeted Vanateur, third in the Supreme Novices hurdle, at the race from a long way out. I mean, even when that horse of his dotted up at Ascot the other day, sign of a victory, he said, I don't think I'm going to run it. I'm going to run Vanateur. He's got Area 51, Kentucky Hayden, and Volney the Tire, which is interesting because I fancy him to run quite well tomorrow at Huntingdon. They're all in the race, but Vanateur looks the pick, and it's very interesting that this has been his target probably all summer.
Okay. Bookies can't split Hurricane Fly and Jeski in the Morgiana, can you?
I would possibly rather have Jeski, I think. I'd have to go back and check what his first time out record's like. Obviously, he goes very, very well right-handed. And Jeski Harrington had a winner yesterday, so the yard's obviously going quite nicely. Just have a sort of a quick flick through his form. He won first time out last year. He was 4 on to do it. He made a little bit of a meal of it, but he's a kind of horse that can lead. And if Barry Geraghty's going to get back on him, you know, I think that's a very intriguing jockey booking, because you know Barry was instrumental in the way that the horse progressed in the early part of his career. And I think he's unbeaten on him. I think he's 5-5 when he won the Champion Hurdle, beating My Tent or Yours. I think that was Barry's 5th ride on him, and he's won on all 5 occasions. So I would probably go with him. He's got the legs. You know, you love Hurricane Fly to bits, but he's 10 years of age now, going 11. Jeski's still got a little bit of improvement to find, and I think he can get better, Jeski. I think his hurdling can get better. I think he's in danger of being an underrated champion hurdle winner.
And from what I heard a few weeks ago, apparently they're going to have Hurricane Fly further forward this year.
Are they?
So if that's the case, a fully fit Hurricane Fly and maybe not a quite fully fit Jeski, it's going to be interesting.
I mean, just looking at his record, Jeski Fresh, I mean, he won his bumper first time out. He was beaten in his novice career first time out. But, you know, he has won off a break before now, quite a sizable break as well. So I don't think he's going to be an issue having him fit. But, yeah, you'd wonder whether they're going to be fully tuned, either of them, for a Morgiana hurdle sort of in the middle of November.
Yep. Which horses have caught your eye as the jump season has got going?
Oh, God, that's an interesting
question.
Nice, easy
one, that, isn't
God,
it?
God, yeah. Well, sign of a victory would certainly be towards the top of the list. I think I was sniffing around for champion hurdle prices for him after he won at that Ascot Handicap. I just thought if he was a daft price, he might be one that you could probably take a little bit of a look at. I think those horses of Mick Shannon's that won their respective chases, the novice chase, it was Sergeant Reckless, one of them.
Yeah.
I thought he was particularly impressive with his round of jumping. I think there's a few horses that, well, plenty of horses that obviously we're yet to see yet, because I think they've been wrapped up in cotton wool a little bit. But now the ground's easing significantly, I would imagine that, you know, we're going to see a little bit more from them. But no, I was very taken with those two novice chasers of Mick Shannon's recently. I thought they were sparkling performances. There was a couple off the flat recently, which I quite liked as well. Mobster Mick Shannon's at the one at Doncaster Saturday. Yeah. I thought that was a nice horse for next year.
Yeah, fair enough. Finally, Henderson, Nichols or O'Neill for the title?
Henderson.
Yeah.
Nichols, 5 winners at the weekend. Obviously, great to see him back. Not at full force, but he's got a lot of young horses. I don't think he's going to have contenders in the main handicap chases. You're going to need the national winner, I think, this year. Not that Nicky Henderson's got a great record in the national, to be honest, but he just has got so much strength in depth. I was talking to Ben Brisbane, Mark Brisbane's son, recently at the sales at Tattersalls, and he's been in Australia, and he'd been down to Seven Barrows to ride a bit of work. And he just says that, you know, he's got half a dozen different horses for each discipline, all quality, you know, and he just has so much strength in depth, Nicky Henderson. I think, you know, if he keeps his horses fresh, well, and free of any virus, I think he'd be very tough to beat.
Yeah, and then he's got the real big guns to bring out if they're fully fit as well, isn't he?
Well, like absolutely.
Sacker and Simon Sig. And,
yeah. He's just got so much. I mean, he must have had 10 or 15 bumper winners last year, which are obviously going to go over hurdles this year. And he just seems to have a never-ending conveyor belt of young talent progressing through. I think Paul Nicholls will have a good year, and as I do, John Joe. He's got obviously Hollywell, Tucker and Dassault. He's going to prime the horses for the big events, but Nicky Henderson's just going to just keep winning races left, right and centre, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Final thing to ask you before we move on. Godolphin's jockey swoop.
Yes.
What do you make of that? Now got
I think
Doyle
it's good,
and Buick.
Good business for them. Big James Dore fan, big William Buick fan. They've got two young British lads, loads of experience at the various tracks. They've won races abroad as well. I think they're two very solid pair of hands as well. They don't make many mistakes in the races. You don't, yeah, they cock up occasionally, but it's only a jockey that doesn't when they're riding 750 horses a year. Big, big James Dore fan. I think he's learned the hard way. I think he lost his claim very quickly on the All Weather.
Yeah,
progressed through this claim very quickly, then had a lean time, was going to walk away from the sport, and then just happened to jump on one at Roger Charlton's one day, which was a bit tricky. Nobody else wanted to ride it, managed to win on it, and then got that association going. And, you know, I think Judmont, the Judmont Association has been brilliant for him, but I think it'll be a big loss for Judmont.
Yeah.
Him going,
well,
definitely.
Yeah.
And William Buick's just a very polished and mature rider, has always conducted himself absolutely brilliantly. He's not everyone's cup of tea, but I personally think he's very, very solid. You get an 8 and a 9 out of 10 out of him most rides.
Yeah, exactly. It's two good recruits. I think it's just a bit of a shock how it just came out of nowhere,
didn't
it?
I think it's a statement of intent, certainly, from Sheikh Mohammed. I mean, he obviously spent a lot of money at the sales, and, you know, he realises that there's a fair bit of competition coming his way from, you know, the Qataris. He's gone out to get the two best men that he feels are there. They're both experienced at top races, racing abroad as well, in America or whatever, in France. So he's got two very polished jockeys there.
Right, we'll leave that there. We better move on to Tuesday's racing, and we'll get Sam's three selections on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Tuesday. Sam's picked out one race at each meeting for us, so a nice spread across the day. And the first of them is the 12:50 at Sedgefield, which is a novice's hurdle over 2.5 miles. We have seven of them in the lineup here, so maybe not the easiest of each way angles into the race, Sam, but what would you like to win it?
Well, I think Ballybriggan's going to take a good deal of stopping here. I'm not sure what price he'll be. Probably 6-4, 7-4 if we're lucky. Gordon Elliott has entered him up in three races in the UK. This week he's in at Ayr on Wednesday, I think, but more importantly he's in at Cheltenham in an amateur rider handicap, which he ran in last time, a similar race when the open meeting was on at Cheltenham, and yet he's happy to run him in this Sedgefield novices hurdle, which is a qualifier admittedly for the final, but very interesting that he does take in this race as a little tune up before no doubt going on to Cheltenham. He's got nothing to lose by winning it. He's already penalised for a victory in a similar race in Ireland, and you know, he's not going to blow his handicap mark, so he might as well run in this, have a little bit of a spin out for 3.5 grand, pays the X's, and then off to Cheltenham on Friday for the amateur rider race. He was third behind the young master in a similar race at the open meeting, and we know how good that form is.
Yep. Okay, so Balbriggan then in the 12:50. The 2:10 at Huntingdon is the next one we're going to look at. This is the Michael Mass Hurdle, which is a handicap over the extended 2.5 miles. We have 12 of them in the lineup for this, and you've already mentioned the Volnated tie on this podcast. So is he the selection?
Do you think it's the Michaelmas hurdle?
It probably is, yeah.
Well, Michaelmas to us here at William Hill. Yeah, it's a class 2 race. One or two interesting little subplots. I think Soft Song could be interesting for David Pipe. He's been switched stables. There's also a couple of others in here that look lurkers. But Volnated tie was a pretty classy horse last year. He finished up at Aintree, finishing fifth to Lac Fontana in a competitive handicap there. He chased Home Irving at Ascot. He always looked as though 2.5 was going to be his bag this year. He's a bit of a shell of a horse last year, but did well to win a couple of races. Progressed nicely. Also entered in the Greatwood Hurdle on Sunday. Unlikely, I would suggest, to go. But you never know. I mean, if he wins this, I mean, this is a nice prize, 25,000 added. They might just feel like they might have a dip their toe in the water with a penalty if he was to go in here. But he just looks a handicapper that is capable of conceding weight to one or two inferior rivals for me.
Okay, so Volnated tie then in the 2:10. And the 2:30 at Lingfield is the last race we're going to look at. This is a flat jockey's handicap hurdle. So it's for the flat boys over the obstacles. And interesting runners in here that have returned from a break, that are returning from a break, the likes of Bo Lake and Tia Lissio. You've got Lissio, who's fit already. And then you add to the mix flat jockeys on board. So what are your thoughts
here?
Well,
you do, yeah. And Fergus Sweeney won this race last year for Alan King. And I wonder whether he might win it again, this time for Susie Smith and aboard Bow Lake, who is a dual winner last year. He won at the track as well on heavy ground. And Susie's horse is going very well at the moment. Little Boy Baru won at Sandown at the weekend. Their Brave Decision was only just beaten a nose at Kempton recently. So the yard's going pretty well. He hasn't got a great record fresh, this horse. That's the only proviso. So he's probably the weakest of the treble. But he looks to have been targeted at this race. And I think it's very interesting that Fergus takes a ride again. It doesn't look a great contest. And perhaps Fergus can land a notable double by beating his quartet of flat compadres in this event.
Okay, good stuff, Sam. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy on Tuesday.
Thank you.
So there you go, the thoughts of Sam Turner on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:30 p.m. We have Darren Owen, Andy Holding and Gary Capewell in the studio for the meetings at Huntingdon, Lingfield and Sedgefield. Plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.